This is Life Talk, where we tell it like it is. Life Talk is motivational, helping you get to the next level in life. Life Talk is educational to broaden your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by CamerEducation.org. And here's your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Life Talk with Marietta. I am your host, Marietta Kammerer. Very happy to be with you. And this music was by Rich Tuttle. Thank you so much. Thank you. Happy to be talking to you about our topic, leaving food on your plate is okay and more. Because programmed from childhood, finishing what was served on the plate. We all know the story. The plate was king. As we got older, the portions got bigger and bigger. And we looked for bigger size food portions and felt deprived when smaller sizes were offered to us. When we went to see a family member or in public spaces, public places. It just didn't satisfy us. The brain ordered ahead of time, always large portions. It became a pattern and a lifestyle. We become a living garbage disposal. We need to get out of this cycle, and it is all about awareness, education, and to fight obesity. We all struggle with that. Lots to talk about tonight. Please welcome my guests here in the studio, the Clean Plate Club fans, Norma Giannatasio and Art Cool. Good evening.
Good evening.
Clean Plate
Good
Club
evening,
fans.
Where's the bread?
Yeah. And Art is cool. Well, we'll find out how cool he is tonight.
I'm looking forward to weighing in on the subject.
Did you weigh in? Did you get weighed in on the way?
Where's the scale?
Yeah, with the scale, right? So if not, after the show then. So on Friday, June 1st, is Norma's birthday.
July.
Well, Friday is July.
You said June.
Oh, yeah. I wrote down June. I don't know who wrote this. Rich must have written that down. Sorry, Rich. Yeah, I can blame it on him.
Thank you.
I made the mistake. July 1st is Norma's birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. So I don't have any announcements. Let's just... Oh!
Another one bites
the
dust.
We were at the Oktoberfest for a minute, you know, moving our bodies, left, swaying our bodies, left, right, happy birthday.
Now we're all going to have cocktails.
Yeah, that's it.
So Rich will take care of the subject, right,
yes.
Rich? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start with our first segment. Thank you. Just tuned in to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta, and tonight we're talking about leaving food on your plate is okay and more. And in our first segment, we talk about instant gratification. We all know where the Clean Plate programming comes from, no doubt. We're victims of clean plate. No, how poor. We're victims. We're victims of cleaning plates, right? So decades ago, mom would cook for the entire family one meal. Everyone had to like it or not like it. The result was the same. Eat it anyway. So Norma will chime in on that in a second. With this programming, we miss our internal cues, our internal sensors. It is the green light and start to overeating and wanting more. So the sensors don't work anymore, and even the hunger feeling that we're used to getting, it doesn't work anymore because the garbage disposal just swallows it. That's it. Think about that. So as we get older, the portion get bigger. I already said that. And then we're asking for second and third helpings. Why should we stop ourselves? Because it feels good to eat. Even though we can't taste the food, we just swallow it. But it gives us a comfort feeling. It's always there. So, and we tell ourselves, well, we had a hard life. We were depressed. And I just enjoy eating. So whatever you tell yourself, that's very individually. But tonight, we're going to hear a little bit out from Norma, a little bit from Art. So how was your life, Norma, as a victim?
Italian and an Italian house? Well, let's say food was plentiful. That's for sure. We weren't raised with abundance of food, though. I have to say that my grandmother came from Italy. And in Italy, the portions, and still are, small. Pizzas in Italy are what we call a personal size pizza. In this country, it's a huge box and it's got about 12 pieces in it. In Italy, it's a small pizza and it still is. So the problem came over into the United States with making the portions bigger, the restaurants making the pizza bigger, making the portion size bigger. But in Italy, up till today, the portions are not big.
Really?
No, they're not. You go to Italy and you get this individual. That's all
like
they
almost
have.
Like a size of a pancake.
It's called a personal pizza. And uh-huh. That's just for you. And if your partner wants another one, but it's just for you. They don't come out with a big pizza. It isn't, nothing like that. No.
Really?
And a portion of pasta is a one portion of pasta. It's not overdone. Mm-hmm. It was when the Italians came over here and figured out that we were gluttons. They gave us more, and we wanted more, and they gave us more. So I wasn't brought up with a lot of food, just good food. Mm-hmm. So as a kid, we were made to eat everything on the plate, but we were never forced to eat. Like, it wasn't like have another plate or have another piece of bread. If you were finished, you were finished. But it was older when things started to change.
Would you be finished before the food was gone?
I was.
Really?
I was finished before the food was gone. And my mother's going to not like this because she's up in heaven looking down at me right now. But she used to have this little story with me because I guess I didn't eat as much as my brother and sister did.
Oh, okay.
I was the middle child, so I had a lot of issues.
Really?
What they say about middle children. They try to please everybody. But I would not eat everything, and I loved pasta. So my mother would say the macaroni on the dish, if I had a few leftovers, she would say that when I was really little, a toddler, she would tell me that the macaroni was crying because I didn't eat it. And when you're 3 and 4 years old,
you believe
those stories. So I'd look down on my plate and I'd say, gee, I'm full, Mommy. Yeah, but that macaroni is crying. It needs to be. So I'd get my fork and I'd eat the macaroni. And 50 years later, I was not a happy camper, but it didn't bother me as a child. Mm-hmm. But those are little stories she'd tell me that the pasta was crying.
Art, I'd like to bring you in the conversation. How was it with you in your upbringing? Were your macaronis crying too?
Oh, I'm the exception to the rule now. I was a very picky eater as a kid. And unfortunately, I was spoiled. So what happened is my mother would make a meal and I would kind of refuse to eat most of it. So she kind of learned pretty quickly that she had to either make meals that I would eat or she had to kind of make a little separate meal on the side. So that's how I grew up. And
well, what foods
she enabled you?
Yeah. What? Yes. What foods did you like, and what foods did the rest of the family eat?
You see, I was very, very basic. It was peas and corn.
Okay.
Steak or hamburgers, hot dogs, probably some you know, cold cuts, but only ham, mm-hmm. boiled ham, they used to call it.
Yes, not baked.
So that was what I grew up on. And, of course, my mother was a very good cook. So when she did make things that I liked, I really liked them. And I ate as much as I could. But there was no problem because there was always plenty of food. Then, oh, she used to make these desserts. That was something I just absolutely loved.
You didn't have a problem with that?
No.
Okay.
Between cookies, cakes, pies. Oh.
Mm-hmm. But tell her about your lust for,
too.
Yeah, but how about your lust for real whipped cream?
Oh, wow.
He's
real
obsessed.
Whipped cream, mm-hmm. of course.
With that, real
That's what I was brought up
cream.
On.
Wow.
And we used to, this is back in the dark ages, we used to have to whip it with a hand
beater. Yes, I remember.
Beater.
I have one like that at home still. I collected it.
No yeah, electric hand mixer. We had to beat it. Yeah. And we had to do it, too. If you want real whipped cream, you beat it yourself. So we did. And that's how I developed a love of cream. I still love cream in my coffee. Cream on anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember as a kid whipped cream being very special. My mother would always bake a cake for the weekend and would make strawberries, and like a strawberry shortcake or a pound cake with strawberries on it with a glaze and then the real whipped
real
cream.
Whipped cream
was something very special at that time.
Absolutely.
It really, really was. It was special. And I love whipped cream, too.
It was a
treat. There's nothing like a good tasting strawberries with whipped cream. Oh,
mm-hmm.
my God. Never mind heat the spritz out of the bottle.
Right.
Forget it.
No.
There was no such thing back then. There was no such thing.
Yes. Whip it yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. So I'm right there with you.
By the way, I'm very good at whipping cream. I just,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You know how to whip it, right?
I whip it. I'm very good at whipping cream.
That's right.
Yeah. I have stories to tell about
well,
my whipping methods.
Oh, yeah. She certainly does.
Attitude towards food. I never experienced what Norma experienced, leaving food on the plate, asking for seconds, and then going back after everything was cleaned up, the kitchen was closed, and I would go back there and would have whatever, would eat some leftovers. So I started having a very different attitude toward food. Food was always there for me, right from childhood. And my parents, my mother never stopped me from eating too much. She loved seeing me eating. Oh, the child is healthy. That's how they looked at it, the child was healthy, you know? And of course, that you start having all kinds of other issues as you grow up, we get into that more. But I do want to point out and I was asking that the other day, how was I fed as a baby? Was I breastfed or, no, I remember every 4 hours they gave me the bottle. Every 4 hours, and I said to Norma the other day, how did they know to, you know, who came up with this every 4 hours feeding the baby? Because the baby might not be hungry every 4 hours, you know? So you said the doctors at the time,
doctors
I guess they
tell,
must have had doctors
we'll
at the time.
Will tell new mothers, you know, how often to feed the baby. And then the baby cries, just feed it.
Yeah.
First of all.
And a child does let you know, the baby does let you know, when it's, you know, if it's hungry or not hungry, you just have to look for the signs.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I find my book here, and when a child is older than 5 months, you know, they start seeing the food and they get excited when they see the food or reach for the food, but not a baby, we're not a newborn, but a newborn lets you know as well. They make certain sounds that, you know, he or she is still hungry. And when they're not hungry, they push the food away, closes his or her mouth when food is offered, turns his or her head away from food, and uses hand motions or makes sounds to let you know he or she is full. So it's been a long time since I've been a mom and raising the baby. I wouldn't remember anymore.
I remember one thing about all my four kids. They all learned to say no more. And they had a hand gesture, of course,
really?
Being Italian. They would say no more. And that was the hand gesture. They would say it, though, when they learned, before mm-hmm. they knew how to talk, they would do this. But then when they learned to talk, they'd say no more. All done. I'm sorry. All done. Mm-hmm. All done. Mm-hmm. All done. Mm-hmm. All done. And I listened to my kids. If they said all done, they were all mm-hmm. done.
So I already got from you, when you were full, you left food on the plate. How about you, Art? When you got the goods, you know, the extra food that Mom cooked for you, did you overeat or...
Actually, I was pretty free to eat as much as I wanted, and my mother would encourage me to finish whatever portion I had been given. But usually, if I got to the point where I was full or I had enough, that was it. I didn't eat anymore. So if I left some on the plate, oh well. But yet. Now, I can remember going to this, we used to go to a dentist up in Newtown, and there'd be two or three of us going to the dentist at the same time. So in the meantime, while one was in there, the other ones would have time to kill. And we'd go out to this restaurant, which was right nearby, and they served these English muffins with butter. Boy, did I go for those. My father had to reorder several times because I'd eat all of them. So that was my experience with eating back right. then.
Thank you, Art. Now, Norma, you told me you never had, during your life, you never had a weight problem.
No. I was a thin, small girl. I was, I weighed, I think, 98 pounds when I got married at mm-hmm. 19 years old. I had three children by the time I was 27, and I weighed 118 pounds at mm-hmm. 27. At 49, I was a size 8, which is maybe 120-some-odd pounds. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I reached 48, 49, still a size 8, 50, 51. And then I went into menopause. What a shock. Because I had never dieted. I'd never needed to diet. In fact, when I was a kid, my mother used to want to give me milkshakes to put weight on me. But I was shocked what the change that my body went through with menopause. Everything, just not the hormones, but the metabolism literally goes to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't aware of that because my mother didn't go through menopause. My sister didn't go through menopause. They both had hysterectomies. So I had no one to talk to. Mm-hmm. I had no one to pick up the phone and said, Mom, did you have this happen to you? I never changed my diet. I ate everything I used to eat. I was still raising four kids, working full time. Mm-hmm. So my lifestyle didn't change. And I'd look at something and I'd go on the scale and I'd gain a couple of pounds by staring at it too long. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt.
So what happened? Did you accept that then?
No.
Or did you start fighting?
I first, after the shock wore off, because mm-hmm. here's a woman her whole life who was always skinny. I was skinny at parts of my life. I was, I was skinny. And now I have this weight coming on me. First of all, you're mortified. And then second of all, it's okay, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. So I started to do different weight loss plans. And I did the liquid diet, put your body into, I don't know what the word is, ketosis or something, ketosis.
But ketose, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know anything
it's,
about it.
It's ridiculous because you lose a ton of weight. And then as soon as you start to eat, when you get permission to eat, that weight comes right back on because mm-hmm. no one can live on a liquid diet. Mm-hmm. But it's a fad, and I did it. And the only, I started into Weight Watchers, and that helped me. I dropped about 22 pounds. Although I have to say, it took me a whole year. I do not lose weight easily or quickly, mm-hmm. but I never gained that 22 pounds back.
Oh, great. So you were able to normalize, back to normal.
Right. I was at Weight Watchers, they called me the pound a week girl because I would go in and only lose a pound. Of course, here's all these other women around me, mm-hmm. much bigger than me, losing 5 pounds, 7 pounds, and I'd get off the scale and go, oh, just a pound, and one girl whispered to me, a pound a week is a lot of weight at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. There were weeks I didn't lose a pound. But the point she was trying to get to me is you're better off. Mm-hmm. These women losing 5 pounds, 7 pounds, they're going to put it right back on. And they did, and I didn't.
How was it with you, Art? Have you suffered a weight gain and loss?
Well, once upon a time, when I was in my 20s, 30s, and 40s, I was able to eat anything I wanted, and I did. ice cream sodas, sundaes, lots of ice cream, lots of desserts. Let's say at Thanksgiving time, I would have two full plates, and I could still probably have gone back for more. So mm-hmm. it's just amazing.
No weight gain. Nothing.
Well, nothing.
Not really. Nothing.
Then the problem came right about when I was in my early 50s. The weight started coming on. And right away, you don't notice it, but it's kind of slow. But then it starts piling on and piling on. And now that I'm a little bit older than the 50s, I have to really, really work at it. Now, I've tried all kinds of different weight loss systems, pills, exercise.
Nutrisystem.
Nutrisystem.
Remember that.
Nutrisystem was okay, but eventually you get tired of the taste, or at least I did, and it just doesn't appeal anymore, so that doesn't work. So now what you really have to do is you have to get a mindset that you're going to control your portions.
Well, we're going to find that out right after the break.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
The sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. And take it easy. Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. And such a fine sight to see.
I'm back. I'm looking at that. I was expecting commercials. That's why I paused for a moment. Well, just before the music break, Art was saying he's building a mindset. And I like that because doing things with a little restraint and consciousness, but to get there is very tough. What you're doing.
It's not easy because in this society now, we're bombarded with food, and as an example, we go to a fast food place. What's the first thing it says? Supersize your meal for only this much extra. Why do you need to supersize? The normal size meal is plenty, and of course, the fast food has a lot of fat in it anyway. So. But why do you need to supersize?
I tell you why we need supersize, because we think big, because we're, you know, anywhere between 300 and 500 pounds. We eat a lot of food. So that's why we think big and get insulted if we get a tiny
wiener burger. Now they have the three-decker burgers.
Three-decker burger, that's vulgar. That is vulgar.
Yeah,
your stomach is just, as soon as you eat it, you just go kaput.
Yeah.
That is a vulgar three. You know, I love burgers. I'm a burger girl.
Me too.
But three patties, and they're about, about a half an inch at least. At least thick.
Yeah.
So, but when you eat with the sauces and everything, oh my God. So then my stomach couldn't take it, and I would get sick. That I know. But I have done some interesting things, but I would like you to finish. Sorry I interrupted. I had to tell you this.
Well, so back to the fast food restaurants. If you eat those supersized meals, you're going to come out feeling awful because your stomach is just too full.
Sick.
And you never should have eaten that much to begin with. It's not a way to lose weight. Unfortunately, eating is one of life's greatest pleasures, next to sex.
Right. And when people say, oh, you only live once and that life is meant to be enjoyed, you know, that all sounds good. We all heard that. But look, we have to exercise a little self-control.
Absolutely.
And I can only say that so nonchalant because I started taking control about a month ago. Before, I had no control. I would have the hamburgers. I would eat. Any time was a good time for me. Any time. Because, and again, I thought about a lot. I thought about it a lot, and I said it was equivalent to a garbage disposal because all I would do is swallow the food. I couldn't even taste the food, and that wasn't even on my brain as long as I was just feeding myself. And a month ago, I said no more, no more. And, of course, there's a medical history behind it, a slight medical history that came up. And not eating after a certain time and then certainly not going to bed right away, going to sleep right away. So the bottom line is I said no more. I don't need this fullness. I don't need it. And besides, the sensors and the fullness, I haven't had that in years. In years. Mm-hmm. So now, for about a month now, the sensors are all working. The fullness, I wait for it. I even put the food a little bit on the plate and waiting for that fullness. And I'm not embarrassed to leave bites on the plate. Now, I still don't believe in throwing out food, but I have thrown out food. I have cleaned the refrigerator from sauces. Sometimes I make a new meal out of leftovers, and I think I'm such a great cook. I don't know the flavor palettes. Are you kidding? So I've been trying that. You know, I tried that too, and I said, no, that's horrible food, so I threw that out. So what I've learned in this month, I will buy less food and only the food that I really like. I give you an example. I bought this frozen ring of shrimps. It's about $20. Mm. You get about 38 shrimps. Not bad, so. I always thought it was something special because they were shrimp. Okay. So I defrosted the ring, and it wasn't quite defrosted, so I rinsed 5 shrimps under the water. Was fine. And it had water in it. Mm-hmm. But I was able to dip it in the sauce and ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, I took some shrimp out. All the water had left the shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
So it was totally tasteless. Mm. It's amazing. It was totally tasteless. I would have never tasted that from before.
Were you still dipping it in the sauce or something?
No, I just took a little bite the second day from the shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And the water had gone. The water was totally, it comes in a little round dish, and then they have like a doily.
You have to remember the water was frozen, which kept the shrimp very, very cold, and that's the way we all want to eat shrimp. But the next day, the water wasn't frozen anymore.
Right, but also the water left the shrimp.
Yeah, and it has a different texture.
Into the doily that they have, like a that catches the water.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the most disgusting shrimp I've ever eaten. Had I not cleaned my palates and started on this journey, I would have eaten it. I would have said, this is good.
That's okay. Yeah.
There's some pretty bad food that they have in the grocery store from, these ready-made salads and all kinds of things. Absolutely disgusting. But when you're on this journey of swallowing food, you just don't taste it anymore. You say, that's good. It has shrimp or lobster. Oh, that's good. No. It's terrible. So that goes for everything, for breads, everything. With me, it has to have a certain bread now, some really exquisite. I have very fine palates.
Thank God for
that's
that
good,
now.
Because
thank
you, God. If you want to eat something really good or don't eat it at all.
Yes.
You know, my daughter used to say to me, because my daughter never had a, well, she's going through menopause now, mm-hmm. but I'm going to speak for her. She's just had a great figure her whole life. And she said to me once when I was eating something, she said, Mom, why are you eating that? I said, oh, no, I'm hungry. She said, it's wasted calories. I said, what do you mean wasted? Mm. I know what she meant now. Yeah. The choice I made was bad, and it was wasted calories. My choice could have been better. And she knows better than that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, you know, sometimes you learn from your kids.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
Now, Art, I'd like to get back to the mindset that you started to talk about. How are you working on that mindset? What works for you?
Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret that happened to me. I recently had a little surgery on my face. And as part of the recovery process, they prescribe these antibiotics. Now, one of the side effects of the antibiotic was a diminished appetite. So I have finished the antibiotics now, and I've probably been finished with them for 2 weeks anyway. And yet, my appetite is still down. Mm-hmm. So now I'm working on programming my mind to stay with that reduced appetite, and it seems to be working so far. So I don't think my terrible appetite's going to come back as long as I keep remembering.
It's the programming.
Right.
Just like we program ourselves for other things, whether it's in business, we're going to do this, mm-hmm. and this, and we will do this, and we program ourselves, mm-hmm. or in personal relationships and so forth. It was a programming I did in 1994, and I realized that over a month ago, this programming. And I said, you know what? Looking at the past, that doesn't serve me anymore. I said, it's all gone. It's okay. I spare you all the details. I don't want to do a mental striptease
here. Well, that's kind of called emotional eating.
I've been emotional eating all my life,
yeah.
Losing
that's emotional eating.
Up and down, and mm-hmm. I've done every... I've
You're
done,
doing it just to
yeah.
feel better.
One thing that doesn't work for me, if you tell me I can't have this, and this, and I was never a Weight Watchers girl, nothing against any of these companies, but I don't like to write everything down what I eat. I'm totally against that. So... 10 years ago, I lost 75 pounds, but I had the HCG, and it's a liquid that you inject. I was under doctor's care, and you're on 500 calories with supplements, and I lost 75 pounds. But you give yourself a shot every day, and the shot is just like an insect bite. It's no big deal.
Uh-huh.
So, did I learn how to eat properly?
No, of course not.
So, and then, of course, depriving myself, then I hit the pretzels. And the assurance, it was almost an arrogance, I want to use that word, that any time you can pick this product up again and you will lose weight. Well, that's true. But you know what? It still takes the mindset. And that's what it is. It's the mind. I don't care what you do. But I do want to say the intermittent fasting does work. And when I heard the word fasting before, I said, oh, no, that doesn't work for me. I didn't even know what I was rejecting. I had no idea, just the word fasting. I probably interpreted, oh, you can't eat. Well, that wasn't good for me. So that's how I, when I heard the word fasting, which was stupid, but that's what happened. And when I really found out what it's about, I said, you know what? I could do that. I really do. But I had a talk with myself prior to that, prior to finding the method, how to go about it. I had that mindset. And my mind and everybody was in alignment. Everybody. I was ready to do this, and this fell into my lap. And I have to say, tomorrow it's a full month. I lost 14.2 pounds already.
Good for you, Marietta.
Yes. I thank you.
It's working.
I feel my sensors are working. My I feel appetite. I really and how this works. You pick the time you want to eat depending on when you work, what your lifestyle is. For me, what works 8:30 to 4:30. 8:30, you start your cup of coffee with cream, and then you have a window of till 4:30, and that works. That works for me. And I'm in really enjoying my food. I don't like throwing food out, but I will not eat bad food that I prepared or that I bought. And I never buy prepared food, by the way. But it could mean whether it's a cheese.
Very, smart move.
Yeah.
Full of salt.
Whether I like, I don't like a certain cheese or I love, you know, and by the way, you can eat anything you want. But here's the key. You don't go back to your old, oh, now I have to get a lot of food and eat as much from 8:30 to 4:30. You don't do that.
You
really
don't.
You just ask yourself as you plate. First of all, you ask yourself, what would you like to eat? So, and then, you know, you do have to prepare yourself mentally and every day, you know, and prepare it with care. So I never toasted a bun for myself. By the time you toast the bun,
food
I have
prepared
it eaten
with
already.
Love is much better.
Warm up the bun.
It's much better than none.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
So now I learned I don't have to buy as much food, but there's a lot of food out what we bring into a home that doesn't taste good. Whether it's a spaghetti sauce that tastes awful or a kielbasa. I love kielbasa. I can eat kielbasa, but I don't need to eat the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it has to be good. And maybe a smoked, it has to have a personality, that kielbasa. If it doesn't have, it's oh my God. So I really make good choices and really what my palates are good. They're really good. I'm proud. I'm very proud of that. I never even knew that. So I'm no longer in the garbage disposal department. I really mean that. And I could never talk about this so openly if I wasn't on the path of bettering myself with this and showing results.
You know, as you're doing this, though, Marietta, you do know your stomach is shrinking.
No,
it's not
it doesn't.
Just it does.
No, I looked it up, and I have it here someplace. It's a myth.
It's really not.
No, it's
really
not.
Can anybody
really
look
does.
Up?
It does shrink.
Can anybody look? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It's okay. But I read it someplace in my research. Doing this topic, I saw something on the internet. But you know what? It's Dr. Google, and Dr. Google, you know, is not always right.
You got to watch the show 600 Pound Life.
Yeah.
Because they tell you that the stomach does shrink. And the reason they want those patients to go under that surgery, bariatric surgery or sleeve surgery, is they want before they, now these people are 600 pounds. This is huge, huge people that don't leave the house or can't leave the house. And the doctors, I watch that show, they'll always say, you have to lose weight first. Now you're thinking, why is the doctor asking them to lose weight when they're going to perform surgery? Mm-hmm. You know why? It's to teach them by eating less. Their stomach begins to shrink. It helps the doctor perform his surgery that's going to happen 6 months later.
Yeah.
Better
psychological.
Results. And it's psychological for the patient because now the patient is feeling this poor person that lived maybe 10 years at 600 pounds, like you, is starting to say, you know what? I did this. I lost 50 pounds or 100 pounds before my surgery, and I could do this. So when the surgery's over, they are able to say, if I did it before and I have the surgery now I've got to do this. They commit to it. If you do not lose weight before bariatric surgery, the doctor will deny you the surgery.
They will not do it.
You have to have a mental mindset that you can lose it before. You prove it to yourself. You prove it to the doctor because he won't touch you. And then you prove it to yourself. Now, after the surgery, you say, oh, I'm going to go back and eat a pizza. No. It's liquid diet for maybe a week or two. Then they gradually bring you into food. And why they're doing that is because they don't want to expand that stomach. Because if you overeat, that's why stomachs do shrink. Mm-hmm. They expand even with the surgery. They will expand
then it can
again.
Cause complications.
Now you have infection. Now you're doubled over. Now you're being rushed to the emergency room because that stomach wasn't meant to be expanded, but it still will expand.
Mm-hmm. I could have sworn, but I'll look for that. But
yeah,
I believe what
show.
You're saying. I believe what
you're saying. It's very interesting to see how they handle these people that are obese.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. When you lose weight, like I did 75 pounds, it didn't really change my mind. I was still big and big portions. So That takes extra work, I think.
Well, because your needle was your needle, and that was your what's it like? Your security blanket.
Yes.
As long as you gave yourself that needle.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, oh wow, I could do this. I got the needle, and now I'm good.
But and it's really amazing how much is in your mind.
Yes.
That is where the solution is. You have to learn how to grab a hold of it. And sometimes you need a little jump start, like I got with the antibiotic. But
yep.
I'm really on the track.
Yes,
now.
And that's a sign, because here's the key: we got to listen to our body. What changes? And you pick that up. That I have less appetite now. With me, I started having serious reflux every single night and would sometimes wake up in the middle of the night. It was awful. And I said,
that'll do it.
You know, I said, maybe I should stop eating at 6 o'clock. So I would start that, but then I wasn't consistent enforcing it during the week. So nothing happened. Because at 9 o'clock, maybe I would eat a candy bar or a cookie. Well, that does it. I can't even take pills. You know, after a certain time, because my stomach, it will remind me, and that's not necessary. So we're going to come back after the commercial. I know we're going for a commercial. This is interesting. So don't go away.
Improving your German speaking skills with a native speaker. The art of conversation in a foreign language. Being able to think on your feet for the unexpected. Individual design programs for adults and students. KMAREducation.org. Call for an appointment today. 203-505-3660. Focused, smart, trustworthy results.
My name is William Yank. I'm a 23-year-old, three-time leukemia survivor. One evening, my roommate was trying to talk to me, and I responded to him in a delirium of mess and confusion, and he said, we're going to the ER immediately, and came back with leukemia. They started me on chemos. They started me on a bunch of antibiotics, but the chemo wasn't exactly working. So my oncologist decided that he wanted to try me with CAR T cell therapy. And it worked. Leukemia Lymphoma Society was this unforeseen blessing for me, because I wouldn't have been able to get CAR T cell therapy. We are about 9 months post-transplant and feeling very healthy, strong, and I live.
To give or get help, visit lls.org.
Improve your life. Improve how you feel daily with the right attitude, the right nutrition, and the right purpose. Find it. Life is not about just working for a paycheck. Life is about exploring who you are and exploring what you love doing. KMAREducation.org. Call for a confidential consultation. 203-505-3660. That's 203-505-3660.
Life Talk with Marietta continues on WICC 600.
Brings me back to my days.
Yes. First of all, a very happy 4th of July to everyone. We're taking a quick summer break and are returning August 23rd for regular programming, just letting you know. And, of course, I'd like to communicate with you and give you the latest. And you can find us on lifetalkmarietta.com with all the news. So, and also the podcast library. So go to lifetalkmarietta.com. We'll communicate with you during our break, because we will be dancing in the moonlight. We'll be swimming at midnight. We'll take cross-country tours with our RV, just like Guy Fieri does. I love the show.
Oh, me too.
He goes, oh, my God, with these huge trucks and the whole family and everybody he knows. They're coming and they're eating and they're playing.
He's such fun, isn't he fun?
I love
He's
that
fun.
Show. And I said, I would love to go on an RV and just go places. I don't have to go overseas, but I do like to little R&R and also develop new programs, and that takes a little time and peace and so forth. So, but I'm dead serious. So happy 4th to everybody. And everybody, of course, needs to know, always leave food on your plate when you're going to China. I know you're going to China.
not in the near future.
Not soon. But if you do, finishing your plate when dining at someone's home in China suggests the food wasn't filling enough and that your host was skimping on portion size. Always leave behind a little food to show the host that their meal was filling and satisfying, so you know. So if you guys go to China, please leave some food on the plate. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
So what happens in this country if you leave some food on your plate? The host thinks, oh, well, I guess they didn't like
they
the
didn't
food.
Like it.
And,
yeah.
Right. Because, you know, you can't believe everything you see on the internet. You really, really don't. So it's etiquette to leave food on traditionally. First of all, restaurants don't care, or diners don't care if you leave food on your plate or not. I'm just saying that. It's my opinion. So as long as you pay the bill. But
right.
To me, it would indicate, okay, you didn't want to ask for a doggy bag, you didn't like it. And, you know, there's some people that just don't like leftovers.
Right.
It's amazing all the different reasons people would have not to finish their meal and not take it home. I would take it home.
I would take it home, too.
Yeah.
A lot of times food is most enjoyable when it's fresh.
Uh-huh.
And once it's leftover, well, you can heat it up, but it's not quite the same. Now, there's a few exceptions where something will taste just as good, sometimes even better.
Italian food.
Sorry.
Or soups. Italian food tastes better the next day.
Lentil soup and all the
yes. ingredients just, you know,
yes,
come together.
And, you know, it's only like today I had some leftover Italian food, spaghetti and homemade sauce and everything. And as I'm plating, I said, oh, I wonder if this is enough. See, the thought came in. So, and it was enough. It was okay. So even when you're on this journey, you will have weak moments. But the thought just came in, and I said, yeah, it's enough. So, and it left me. So these temptations and these thoughts, those patterns, yes, you have to be aware of it. But here's the thing. I visualized what I will be like, well, what I looked like from 30 years back. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's what I want, and that's it. Because then all the doors open up. The angel will sing. And, you know, you're going to live again because you want to dance. You want to feel good. Yeah? So there are certain things that hold you back in life, and you don't realize it. You don't realize that you made this little prison for yourself. And somehow you justify this to yourself, you know? Till everything just crumbles, and then you have to look at it and you say, okay, I'm ready to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And also going places and socializing. Because, Norma, you know, when we socialize, we deck out. We're decked out.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
It.
That's how I'm going to
you know,
die.
You don't,
I don't
go
care.
And just
I'm full of glitter.
Oh, please.
I'm not going
yeah?
down that
so,
way.
And
quietly.
You feel good when you look good when you, no, wait a minute, what is it? You feel good when you really look, when you are
look,
satisfied
yes, with what
the
you
way
look
you
like.
Look. And not what others say, oh, you're a beautiful woman. Look at your face.
Yeah.
Oh, and what a stunning dress. No, let's just say, because they have beautiful dresses. The fashion world has beautiful dresses for a bigger woman. Oh, yes, absolutely. And colors. And
yeah.
You don't even know where to look first. you know, that's just to camouflage, if you will, you know. No, I have to live with myself. I have to
look
stand
in
front of the mirror and say, well, this, hey, you really, you got it. Yeah. Honey, you got it. Nothing is missing.
Yeah.
Yes. So Clean Plate Club, Clean Plate Club no more. So, again, I respect food. I abused food. Now I respect it. We're a unit.
It's quality food over quantity of food.
Yes.
Eat good
sometimes
food.
Sometimes what you have to watch out for is if you're going to somebody's house and they're encouraging you to eat as much as possible, that's not a good thing. That's where you have to show your restraint.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they're not going to feel good about it. They're going to think, well, you don't like the food or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be able to tell people that, look, I can only eat so much, and that's it. So I don't want to eat to please other people.
Mm-hmm.
I have to please myself.
It was delicious, but thank you.
Right.
And sometimes you want to give up a little. If you're waiting for that dessert and you want to treat yourself, you really should.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't deny yourself either.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't eat a whole day's worth of food and then at the end of the day have this big, massive dessert.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
It's like the pina coladas. You know, they're
delicious.
They're big sizes.
Stuff.
Yes.
Now, if you just take a little, like a mm-hmm. little pill cup.
Mm-hmm.
The pill cup size, a little of that.
The water, when you brush your teeth, the little
Dixie
water cups.
So you take that, then with
with
the cheese board, you just get a thin slice of each cheese and maybe a thin slice of salami, maybe a cracker. Yeah, that's fine.
Maybe skip the cheese and the salami and just have
the pina colada.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
I think that could fit a little bit more than the Dixie cup size. So
yeah, well.
That could fill me in.
Yeah.
Well,
and
once in a while, I think you can splurge. You know, it's not, well, you have to treat yourself.
You do.
No. I don't want to reward myself. I rewarded myself all my life, and I don't do too well with that. So first I have to prove to myself that I can do it, and I have a job and a mission to do, which is taking care of myself, and the scale is going down. So there is nothing like instant gratification. Yeah, instant gratification every morning when you get up and you go to the bathroom. In the bathroom, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that scale, that digital scale shows up and it talks to you. Oh, my God. You know? And then you go on a second time and just to make sure. Maybe the floor is uneven. So you go on and again, no, it shows the same thing. So that's my instant gratification. And that's why I can say I know what Camembert tastes, and I love cheeses and fruits with it and superb crackers, all of that. It's very good. So, no, instant gratification is my skill now. It's me and the scale. So the cheeses and all of this has to wait.
Well, don't you find that it's a little bit tricky, though, if you weigh yourself every day? Suppose you haven't lost any weight. Then you're going to feel like,
it's okay. I can face it.
Yeah.
I face it. It's okay.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I'm a once a week person on a scale. I don't want to do it every I'm a little like art.
Day.
It affects my mind. I don't want to concentrate on that so much either, too. I want it to be a little bit more of a natural experience. So I'll get on once a week, and I'm like, oh, okay, that wasn't so great.
That's like putting your toes a little bit in the water. Are you kidding? Hey,
but you see, I'm the type that sometimes when I'm emotional.
The worst part is if you get on the scale and it says you've gained a little bit. That's really a setback. So if you, I think
that can happen
too. Once a week.
It has happened too. It's not just that it was just down with the numbers. There were a couple of times where it stayed the same.
Yep.
Or it was a little more.
Mm-hmm.
That's very
so
common.
But I think that also has something to do with your body and how. Your discharge, the food and everything.
Yeah.
To be a little elegant about it. So it's okay. No, it makes me feel good looking at it every day. And, you know, I hope we motivated some of your listeners out there tonight.
You're not alone.
I certainly hope so.
The intention here. It's tough because, you know, when you're submissive to food, you know, there has to be a point where, because it makes you sick. It really does. If you overeat and you can't stop it anymore. You just, you know, it becomes your best friend and it doesn't talk back. So we're out of time. Happy 4th of July. Life Talk is back August 23rd. We're going for a summer break. RV rides, moonlight serenades, and who knows what else. Whatever we can find.
Fireworks.
That makes fun. Fireworks. That's right.
4th of July.
Happy summer, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy summer.